It's really not. It's the stories of our country. I'm glad that we have the privilege of living in this country. Really, really. We ought to thank God for it. I know that America, our country this morning, is far away from God, probably farther than it's ever been. Really, and in our country, a lot of our country is in bad shape spiritually and becoming that way economically and every way. But I'm going to tell you something. America is still the best place in the world to live. We have our freedom. We can worship God. How many of you have ever been outside the borders of the United States? Raise your hand, please. Okay. You talk to any of these people. Talk to any of these people, and I promise you, they'll tell you they could not wait to get back and see our soil. What they do on TV is they play all these other, they'll show you Paris, you know, or they'll show you Tokyo, and you think, oh, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to live? You wouldn't want to live there. You wouldn't want to live in Paris, France, or Tokyo, you know, or Mexico. Lord have mercy. They don't have people over there with guns keeping us from coming over there. We have to keep them coming over here. We don't have to build a wall around our country to keep people in. They do in other countries. I mean, that ought to tell people something. America is a land of the free and home of the brave. And we ought to thank God for our country, that we live in this country. I remember going to Haiti the first time I don't know if that was the first time I went out of the United States, but me and these guys took a trip to Haiti. And not Hades, but it's pretty close. And, man, I'm telling you, everybody thought, oh, it's a tropical paradise. Oh, it's beautiful, you know. Oh, it's wonderful, and this, and that, and the other. It is when you're flying in looking at palm trees and beach. But when you land, I'm telling you what, them people, it's crazy. It's crazy. Anybody in here ever been to Haiti, the island of Haiti? I'm telling you, man, it is. You'd be driving down the road like this, and when you're driving down the road, there's just thousands of people, and there ain't no red lights and no stop signs, which I think is a very good idea. But the problem is people walk out in the middle of the road, and you'd be running through there, and the car going this way and that way, and chickens flying, you know, and everybody hollering at each other, and the national religion is voodoo. The national religion is voodoo and Catholicism. It's Catholic and voodoo. You say, how in the world can them two? Catholicism can exist with wherever it happens to be and mix in with the country it's in to get raise up converts. Catholicism and voodoo, can you believe that? I mean, they have voodoo dolls, and they really believe that stuff. And that the devil's in that stuff. And I remember we was going, me and Paige Gibbs. Some of y'all know Paige Gibbs from Marion. He was with us, and some other people was with us. And Lord have mercy, we was going down the road. And we was flying in this little old car. It was a little old Nissan. And I knew this guy didn't know how to drive. I mean, he didn't even have a car. They borrowed it so they could take us big, rich Americans around. He's flying down the road like this, and he's flying down the road like this. And I said, buddy, we're going to wreck. I told Paige, I said, we're going to wreck, man. This guy don't know what he's doing. And we had two or three close calls. And we was doing about 40, 50 miles an hour. And sure enough, I saw a car coming through the intersection the other way. And I said, here it goes. And I got down behind the seat like this. And I just went like that. Bam! We slammed right into that car. I mean, glass went flying everywhere. We was miles from any town. Everybody running. That's the way they all talk. I said, Lord, what are we going to do now? And I didn't get hurt. I saw he was wrecked, and I got down behind the seat like that. And we jumped out, and that guy driving, he was laying there. Blood all over him, cut all to pieces, laying there. And there was like 1,000 people standing around there. You couldn't understand what nobody said. You ain't got no telephone. You couldn't call 911. You couldn't dial up something. Finally, one of them trolley cars come by, like they got over in Gatlinburg, and it was a big trolley car, and they and the guy's back was hurt bad. I mean bad. And they put him on there. That sounded like me speaking in tongues the other night. Y'all didn't know I spoke in tongues the other night. At that tent meeting, a big bug got right in my mouth. And everybody went like that. And I said, the interpretation is, I was trying to thread it off my tongue like that. The interpretation of that is, you're going to get $1,000 here tonight. But anyway, that's the way they was talking. And we was just standing around there trying to help. And they took that guy to the hospital. We rode in that trolley outside. It was hot. You know, it didn't have no walls in it, bumps. And he was sitting over there about to die. And we got him in the hospital, and honest, folks, your dog goes to a better veterinarian than with that hospital they took him to. Really. It looked like one of the old shower buildings in the old schools from back in the 40s. Just blocks, an old cold slab there. And he had hurt his back bad. And they put him on there and worked on him for a little while. It's pitiful. Pitiful. Your veterinarians have much, much nicer facilities than what they have. And it's crazy. Then the governor or whoever said that they was going to get him because they had that car borrowed, and they was going to sue him or put him in jail or something. And we thought, they're going to get us because we're Americans, and they're going to try to make us pay for this. And honestly, I didn't think we was going to leave the country. You don't know what it's like being outside the protection of the American government till you go somewhere else. All right? Some of you guys that was in the service, it's a different world. Here you know if somebody does you wrong, the government will protect you. You know, used to anyway. In most cases, the government will protect you. Like that girl down there in Aruba that's missing, Natalie Holloway. Our government, man, they're getting on the ball, and the FBI want to go down there and everything. That's an American citizen. But when you're in another country, they just treat you like, hey, here's somebody to blame it on, you know, or they've got money. And we didn't think we was going to get out of there. And I got on that airplane, and I was praying, oh, God, please, please don't let these people get us and lock us up. Please, God, I've never been in jail, and I sure don't want to be in jail in Haiti. You know, this would be awful. I mean, our jails would probably be nice to what their hotels are. And so the plane took off, and we got out of there. It was awful. It was awful. Canada, same way. I preached up in Canada, and snow's about that deep, and kids diving off in the snow like it was a swimming pool. That's how deep the snow was. Turning flips off truck, jumping in the snow, and it's bad, bad up there. I've been in Germany and preached there, and over in Germany, everybody drinks beer. That might sound good to some of you people, but it stinks everywhere you go. I told somebody a while ago, we ought to take all the beer in the world and for the 4th of July and pour it and flush it down the toilet somewhere. Yep. Say amen right there, or I will think mighty bad of you. I'll think mighty bad of you. If you think this country needs beer, you're sick in your head. Amen. And you need to ask God, yeah, that's caused more trouble than marijuana ever thought about. But anyway, they just drink it like water in Germany because water ain't no good. And other places, I'm sure other people here could tell us stories. I'm glad that the Lord let me be born right here in America and right here where I can drink clear and clean water. Amen. I'll never forget when they first started selling water. I thought that was the funniest thing. I said, why would they sell water? It's free. Till I went a few places and drunk theirs. And then I said, now I know why they sell water. If you go up north, anytime you go up north, their water ain't all water. It's got something inside water. Because it's got a taste, and water don't have no taste. If you can taste it, there's something in there besides water. And I don't know what it is. It's sulfur and all kind of poison or something. But you don't beat our water, our air, the mountains God put around us to protect us. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have the worst thing we got around here is old Gospin Baptist. And other than that, it's a great place to live. Amen. And, buddy, the woods is full of them. I ain't kidding you. The worst thing about living here is a bunch of little jealous Baptists that are backslid and got more religion than they have God. And all the churches splitting all the time and all that kind of stuff. That's a mess. We have to put up with that. But other than that, thank God we live in the Bible Belt. And thank God we live in America. Amen. Beats a fool out of California, I can tell you that. I'll guarantee you that. When you go to California, you think you done went to another country. But our country that God has given us is America. Thank God for America. You ought to praise the Lord that He let you be born in America, that He let you hear the Bible preached, that He let you hear the right Bible preached, and that you got a hold of the truth before some cult messed with your head. I'm telling you, that'd make you shout this morning. I was about to shout thinking about it. You could have been born in Afghanistan and walking around in 120 degree weather with rags on your head and thinking that you got to martyr self or something in order to go to heaven and then die and go to hell. You could have been born in India. You know what they do in India? They worship cows. They worship cows in India. You know why they worship cows? Because they think that's their grandma. And grandma, she died about 50 years ago and reincarnated, and now she's Aunt Bessie out in the field, and if they kill her, it'd be murder. Buddy, if we lived in India, we'd just make Ryan's out of Grandma, wouldn't you? Yeah. Make a steakhouse, and that'd be just too bad. But that's pitiful. That's pitiful. And then die and go to hell on top of that. In Africa, worshiping false gods, dying with AIDS, and then die and go to hell on top of that. And here you are in America, got the best of both worlds, can breathe clean air, clear water, can walk on free soil. If we want to get in here and cut flips this morning and go out there and stand in the middle of the road on our head, we have the freedom to do that in America. Thank God for this country. So I'm going to read you a little bit about it this morning. And I'm going to read you about the Mayflower Compact first. The Mayflower Compact. I don't know what year this was. I don't know. 18. Who knows that? I figured you did, John. What is it? 1620. We'll see about that. You're right. Anno Domini, 1620. You're right. Amen. There ain't no use in you reading me reading this. Just stand up and quote us the Declaration of Independence. Fourscore. That's a Gettysburg Address. I remember testing you to see if you knew that, Jonathan. I'm up on my history of our nation. I've got it right here in front of you. The Mayflower Compact. Let me let you read this. How many of you have heard that one of our Supreme Court justices retiring, that lady O'Donnell or whatever her name is, and we're getting ready to have war in Washington over who's going to be the next Supreme Court judge? Old Dead Ted done got on TV, and old Ted done put his 2 cents worth in, and he said this. Do you hear him? He said, I hope that the president will not appoint a Supreme Court justice that will bring division to our country. I hope that he will bring one that promotes unity. You want me to translate that? If he don't appoint somebody that we agree with, we're going to use all you know what and cause a war. That's what that means. You can't listen to what a politician says. You have to read between the lines. What he means is, if he points one that don't support abortion or homosexual rights, we're going to raise Cain and tear the country up. And then blame on him. Amen? Amen? Now let me read you the Mayflower Compact. Here we go. You ready? Listen. Quote, in the name of God, amen. That'd cause trouble right there nowadays. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, and so forth and so on, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. What about that? In honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Stop right there. Think about that. They said, we have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Our country was built on the principles of the Christian faith. Amen. They're trying their best to tell us on TV that it had nothing to do with it, that King James was a homosexual, right? that all they tell all kind of stuff like that. He played tennis on Sunday. Playing tennis on Sunday ain't as bad as Dead Ted getting drunk every weekend. And even if he did play tennis, I don't care if he did. Listen, brother, they said we are doing this to advance the Christian faith, plant a colony in northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. Them people's awful smart not to have all these big colleges we got nowadays. Ain't nobody talks like that nowadays. We done, yeah, man, we went here and over there, and yeah, that's why we come here. but you know how smart these people was? They read the Bible, and we talk ghetto now. That's right. By virtue hereof intact, constitute and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitution, and offices from time to time, as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, under which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness thereof, we have here under subscribed our name at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our Lord our sovereign Lord, King James of England, France and Ireland, the 18th of Scotland, 54th Anno Domini 1620. And here's, listen to some of these names on here. John Carter, William Bradford, Edward Winslow, William Brewster. I think he was one of the early preachers in the crowd. Isaac Allerton, Miles Standish, Ray Martin, Roger Manson, and other great ones are on that list. That's right. They helped our country. Then the gospel began to spread. After the independence was declared in 1776, missions became a national part of our nation. We have always been a country that not only cares about our country, but the rest of the world, here in the gospel. The greatest missionary country in the world has always been America. We still support, and that might be why God's held His wrath off of us for a while, we still support the big majority of the missionaries. Big majority. Right here in America. 1787, the first American mission societies were formed to reach the frontier settlements, the American Indians. And they had this little girl got saved, and her name was what? Pocahontas, right. It wasn't at all. I didn't watch that little movie. My girls did, the Pocahontas cartoon. And I said, does it show her getting saved in there? They said, no, don't think so. Well, they didn't do it right. Disney lied to you, kids. Pocahontas did get saved. She knelt down. I mean, they ought to have that in the cartoon if they want to truly teach history to the boys and girls, right? They ought to have old Pocahontas coming in one day with a track saying, what must I do to be saved, you know? And them getting down on her hitting her knees, and her Sunday school teacher coming, put her arm on her and said, Pocahontas, do you believe that Christ died for your sins? And her come up waving her hand. That ought to should have been in the cartoon. I seen a little bit of it. They had it. She's about as skinny as this thing right here. That was the skinniest youngin' I ever seen in my life. And she looked like a chick with a hair like this. And wouldn't it have been a blessing if they'd have told the truth? Pocahontas got saved and married John Smith or whoever it was. It wasn't John Locke. There, thank you. Back me up, bless God, if I'm preaching the truth. I thought it was John Smith. Maybe in the cartoon it was John Smith. That's how y'all know that, ain't it? You watched the cartoon. Well, I wouldn't stick because it didn't say she got saved either. Well, anyway, in 1790, the Moravians undertake missionary work among the Indian population of New York and Pennsylvania. Their success undoubtedly influenced missions, outreaches in Northern America. That's when David Brainerd come along. Y'all know, remember me talking about David Brainerd, one of the greatest missionaries, one of the greatest men that's ever lived on this soil was David Brainerd. He prayed all the time. He was a missionary to the New Empire in the snow and preached to England. He couldn't even speak their preach to Indians. And they couldn't even understand him. And he would pray, and he'd pray, and he'd talk in English, and they couldn't understand him, and they'd start crying with conviction. I mean, he prayed the Holy Ghost down on them Indians. And he got sick. And David Brainerd was going to marry Jonathan Edwards' daughter. And she's a beautiful young lady, and they fell in love, and they were going to get married. Let me tell you how different people were then than what we are now. And you know what? David Brainerd really wanted to marry that girl. And he said, well, I can't take you up there. The Indians will scalp you, get you, and take you off. As soon as I get back to my mission work, we'll get married. And boy, he went and went and went and went. Never did come back. Never did. And he died at the ripe old age, 29. Died when he was 29. And he'd stand out there and ride that horse, so sick he couldn't hardly move. And he got something wrong in his throat, and his lungs got infected. And he'd stand out there and cough down in the snow, and his blood would spray over that snow, and it looked like little rose petals there, where his little bits of skin coming off his lung. And he'd get back on that horse and ride it over there and preach to them Indians. And I'm telling you, that's what built this nation. People that had a burden like that right there. Some of them old preachers, Peter Cartwright and George Whitfield and John Wesley, you wouldn't believe. John Wesley rode a horse something like 250,000 miles. A horse. Preached three times a day. Preached three times a day till he's 82 years old. and was bothered when he was 82 that he could only write 14 hours a day. It really got on his nerves that he could only write 14 hours a day at 82 years old. And John Wesley, you say, boy, I bet they had a wonderful family. John Wesley's wife was demon-possessed, they said. She's crazy. And she'd go around to his revival. And nowadays, he'd be disqualified for the ministry. They wouldn't even let him preach. But I'm telling you, that was one of the greatest men that's ever lived on this planet. And you know what John Wesley did? Wife would stand up in his meeting, and she'd say, you're a liar! You was out drunk last night. And he had real long hair. And she'd grab him by his hair, his wife, and jerk him around the house. And he thought, well, it's a sin to hit her, so I can't do this. And he just up with it. It's getting quiet in here, huh? For the Lord. He did that for the Lord. And then she left him. His wife left him and run off somewhere. And they said, well, John, what are you going to do about your wife? He said, I did not chase her away, and I shall not go and fetch her. I bet he said, thank God. But, I mean, he's trying to do the right thing, you know. He was trying to do the right thing. But I guess the Lord finally delivered him from her. She's a witch. And them guys put it. They went through it, man. They went through it. They said he'd stand out there and preach, and people come up to kill him, and they couldn't get it done. I mean, you ought to study church history. You ought to study church history, the real church history, not what they teach in college. We're taking a Bible class. That's a bunch of junk in a secular college. Study real church history about George Whitfield. George Whitfield is one of the greatest preachers that's ever been. And old George Whitfield, they said you could hear him without a microphone. They said somebody paced him off and said you could hear every word he said at a mile out in the country with no microphone. Now, they didn't have airplanes and air-conditioned motor running and cars and stuff in. It's quiet. They said you get out there in the country and you could hear that bird preach for a solid mile. And he preached and preached. One of the greatest preachers ever lived. And the preacher's throat got sore. And he preached a great crowd and had thousands and thousands of people saved. And had all them revivals up and down Cumberland Valley between here, North Carolina, and Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. That's why there's Baptist churches on every corner in the South this morning, is because them old boys preach camp meetings up and down this country. You know why there's so many Catholics up north? It's because they don't even understand a lot of things about God. Because they come over here, they settle, and they wanted that place called Maryland. Maryland, right beside the Capitol. Got all around the Capitol and called it Maryland. And they started building Catholic churches all over there. And the South, I didn't bring my rebel flag this morning, but we should have put it right here. Amen. And the South, boy, they had more preaching and more Bible and more truth. And the North went Yankee and went Catholic. And that there's Baptist churches all over the place here in the South because they preach camp meetings. Camp meetings is what built this country. Old-fashioned camp meetings. And they're dying out. But anyway, George Whitfield got to be about, I don't know what he was, 80-something years old. And oh, that old boy, he preached and preached and preached and preached. And he got real sick and he's about to die. And they said, he's not able to preach. And there was 1,000 people out down in the streets. Preach, George, preach. Preach, George, preach. And they said that old guy got out of bed and there's a candle burning in his room there. And he come out there and looked and all them people screaming, preach, George, one more time. Can you preach one more time? And they said, man, he hold off and let her rip there for about an hour. The old man in shape he is in. And when he got through preaching, he laid down over on the bed like that and laid back like that and grabbed his last breath and died like that. And then somebody looked over there, and about the time he grabbed his last breath, that candle just flickered and went out. And he burned out. He burned out for the glory of God and the Lord. That's what built this country. Stuff like that's what built this country. Boy George did not build this country. Amen. And that old watcher and that big old thing, that big old tall thing that used to be black and white and now it used to be a man's a woman. Yeah, RuPaul. Some fool like that did not build this country. Amen. Amen. Michael Jackson did not build this country. They having that World Live Aid concert, Mick Jagger and all that. That stuff did not build this country. Catherine Booth and General William Booth and people that started the Salvation Army. All of our hospitals were started by Christian, the hospital movement, the medical field. Did you know that Harvard and Yale and all them colleges were built? Do you know why they started them things? You know why Yale was built? to train preachers to preach the gospel. That's why it was started. Amen? And then they say, well, you people are trying to make America Christian. No, you're trying to make it heathen.
Amen.
It was founded this way. They're the ones trying to get it to go the other way. Say amen right there.
Amen.
1793, the era of modern missions began. In June, Englishman William Carey goes to India. You ever heard of William Carey? In his booklet, The Inquiry into the Obligations of the Christian for Use of Conversion, then greatly influences the missions activity beginning in North America. In 1810, the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions forms and directs its first mission work from North America. Brother, they were dubbed the Haystack Group. After sudden rain interrupted their prayer meeting, and they took refuge under a haystack. In 1812, Adoniram Judson was the first missionary sent out from North America, goes to Burma. Adoniram Judson, one of the great missionaries. William Carey, going to... where did William Carey go? India. And the other guy that went to China, that real famous guy that went to China, who was it? Jonathan Gofor? There's another one. The Inland Mission, started the China Inland Missions. Y'all been to college and don't even know this. I'm just kidding. He started that. Does anybody know his name? I'll think of a minute. But anyway, I don't know who it was. I believe it might have been Franklin Graham. American Baptists send the missionary to India, the first missionary, Nathan Brown. More missions are formed. Over and over and over. 1866, the volunteer movement at Mount Hermon, Massachusetts, is sparked by evangelist D.L. Moody at the Northern Conference. Oh, D.L. Moody, boy, he wasn't even an educated man, never was ordained. And he robbed hell of a million souls, they said. And brother, that old boy preached, and he only had one besetting sin, like pork and beans too much. That's what they said. He loved them pork and beans, and he had a big belly that stuck way out here. And like Charles Spurgeon, he only had one besetting sin. He smoked cigars pretty regular. And them old boys grabbed two continents and shook them for God, smoking cigars.
Yeah.
They won't tell you that in these big conferences. You know why? Chicken. It ain't right to smoke cigars. But I'm just telling you, God used him. John Wesley wouldn't be allowed to preach, and these other guys wouldn't be allowed to preach. They got beards. I wouldn't let them preach here, bless God. But they're a lot better man than I've ever been or ever will be. I'm just saying, God used a variety of people to build this country and build this nation. Amen. On and on and on and on we could go. And then there are stories of poor boys. I got a bunch of them here that won't take time to give you. John Adams, the second president of the United States, was the son of a man that ran a grocery store. The only start he had, well, he got him some education. We're living in a country where a poor guy can rise up and do great things. You don't have to be royalty in line like Prince William and all them little boys like that. You can grow up on a dirt poor farm and grow up and become president. And some of them did. Abraham Lincoln used to cut wood with his hands. I doubt if John Carey's ever touched a chainsaw. And that's what made them men great. They knew how to work with their hands. They knew what it was to be poor. I wanted to read you something else here. This really ain't got much to do with the lesson, but it always fascinates me how that history repeats itself. And we've seen some tragedies in our nation's history. And I'm going to give you this. We're going to have to hurry. Have y'all ever heard all them similarities between Abraham Lincoln and John Kennedy, President Kennedy? That's some weird stuff. That is so weird. After a while, you start thinking, good night, man. And I don't think God makes things happen. But it sure is strange. John F. Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln were presidents that were a lot alike in some ways. Amen. Squishy's taking a shout and spell down the aisle. Don't pay no attention to her. Amen. Amen. She'll be fine. Both presidents, Lincoln and Kennedy, were champions concerned with civil rights issues. Lincoln, listen to this. Lincoln was elected in 1860... Kennedy was elected in 1960. Both men were killed on a Friday in presence of their wives. Both were shot from behind and in the head. Their successors, the people that took office after them, both named Johnson, were Southern Democrats and were both in the Senate. Andrew Johnson was born in 1808. All were both assassinated before going to trial. Both presidents' wives lost children through death while they was in the White House. Lincoln's secretary, named Kennedy, told him he shouldn't go to that theater. Kennedy's secretary, named Lincoln, advised him not to go to Dallas. It's getting spooky now, man. John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and ran to a warehouse. Oswald shot Kennedy in a warehouse and ran to a theater. That's weird, man. That is weird. The names Lincoln and Kennedy each contain seven letters. The name Andrew Johnson and Lyndon Johnson each contain 13 letters. The name John Wilkes Booth and Lee Oswald each contain 15 letters. And Abraham Lincoln lost this tooth the day before. No, I'm just kidding. I was really going to make it good. And he shot a rabbit 2 days before he died. But there's some weird stuff happens in history. I was going to take an old black and white movie and make it color and make it better. But you know what? I thank God we're living in America. Let me read you one little story here, and I'll be done. This is a revised version of Little Red Riding Hood. Once upon a time, in a far country, there lived a little girl called Little Red Riding Hood. One day, her mother... Now, this is nowadays. This ain't the original Little Red Riding Hood. This has been revived and updated to fit... be politically correct. One day her mother asked her to take a basket of fruit to her grandmother who had been ill and all alone in a cottage in the forest. It happened there that a wolf was lurking in the bushes and overheard the conversation. He decided to take a shortcut to grandma's house and get the goodies for himself. The wolf killed the grandmother and then dressed up in her gown and jumped into the bed and waited on Little Red Riding Hood. When she arrived, he made several nasty suggestions. And then tried to grab her. By this time, Little Red Riding Hood was frightened and ran screaming from the cottage. A woodcutter working nearby heard her cries and run to the rescue. He killed the wolf with his axe, therefore saving Little Red Riding Hood's life. All the townspeople hurried to the scene and proclaimed the woodcutter a hero. But during the trial, several facts emerged. First fact, the wolf had not been advised of his rights before he was killed. Two, the woodcutter had made no warning swings before striking the fatal blow. Three, the Civil Liberties Union stressed the point that although the act of eating grandma was in bad taste, the wolf was only doing his thing and did not deserve the death penalty. The SDS contended that the killing of grandmother should have been considered self-defense since she was over 30 and therefore couldn't be taken seriously because the wolf was trying to make love, not war. On the basis of these considerations, it was decided that there was no valid charges against the wolf. Moreover, the woodcutter was indicted for aggravated assault. Several nights later, the woodcutter's house was burned to the ground. 1 year from the date of the incident at Grandma's, her cottage was made a shrine for the wolf who had bled and died there. At the village, the official spoke at the dedication, but it was Red Riding Hood herself who gave the most touching tribute. She said that while she had been selfishly grateful for the woodcutter's intervention, she realized in retrospect that he had overreacted, and she knelt and placed a wreath in honor of the brave wolf. There wasn't a dry eye in the whole forest. That's nowadays. That's the way everything's turned around backwards. But anyway, suffice it to say this. Thank God you live in America. Thank God for our country. And respect our flag. Respect our leaders. Pray our country's leaders. And pray that God's will be done. Okay? We're going to take just a little break here in just a second. Give you a little break before the preaching service. Fellowship just a little bit. And then we'll have the preaching service. Father, we thank you so much for our country. Thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to live here. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon us this morning, bless the service, do what needs to be done, and bless our meal after a while and our fellowship, and hold the rain off, Lord, if it could be your will. And we love you. Have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name.